If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
What would you say is the hardest thing to do with your partner day to day? It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. And Nikki, what would you say that thing is?
What?
Well, I'm going to die an early death. Great. Thanks very much. So here's the thing. Great. You've just killed me early.
I was focused on that pink song.
Focus on the show. We're 3 weeks into the show and you've already tuned me out. So here's the thing. Apparently, I'm going to talk to Sam now. Maybe he's going to listen.
Researchers
are saying that if you are living with a partner who struggles to be attentive, that it could cause a buildup of your daily stress and emotions. And over the long term, that could lead to a premature death.
So they're saying that if your partner is a bad listener, it's bad for your health.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the first question. Would you consider yourself to be a good listener?
I'm a good selective listener.
Okay, so you're a bad listener.
No, I'm a good listener when I'm listening.
Okay.
Makes sense of that.
Isn't everybody a good listener when they're listening?
Yeah. Guys are great listeners when they're listening.
Sam, would you consider yourself to be a good listener?
Not particularly, but if there's something important, I'll hear it. You know, like you can't give everything equal attention when someone's talking.
Well, how will you know it's important if you're not listening?
I'll know.
You'll know.
I just know. When I'm chatting with my girlfriend, if I'm not looking her in the eyes, it means I'm not listening, which is not the case. You know, guys can be doing stuff and still be hearing and eavesdropping. You know, you don't have to listen to everything that's being said.
But it's just there's nothing more frustrating. Like, you can sometimes tell when someone's not listening. And truthfully, I feel like this day and age, everybody loses their train of thought sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. I've been on the phone with a friend in the past and I'm sort of like scrolling through Instagram and I'm like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to repeat that. Like, my mind was elsewhere. I think that happens with our attention spans right now. I think it does. But there's nothing worse than having a conversation with somebody and the conversation ending with what you feel like is an understanding, you know, moving forward. So listen, the garbage needs to be taken out by this time today. Are you going to take the garbage out? And when he looks at you and he says, yes, yeah, I will take the garbage out.
No problem.
And then it doesn't happen. It either doesn't happen or he'll ask an hour later, does the garbage need to be taken out today? And it's like, what? Who was I talking to?
Mm. Well, I'll always kind of turn it. I'll be like, I didn't know you meant that garbage. I thought you meant the other garbage.
I'm willing to bet that after a certain amount of time in a relationship, though, most people are probably saying that their significant other is like a selective or poor listener.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I was a great listener the first year I was dating Kelly. And then every year I'd probably say I'd be about 10% worse listener. So now I like listen 50% of the time.
It takes most people 10 words to say one real word, you know? So when I say like you're passively listening, it means like just get to the point already, you know? People love the long-winded stories and this and that and talk about your feelings.
Okay, just get to the point already,
exactly,
Sam.
See what I mean?
Thank you. Get to the point. Okay, 92925, you can text us. You would consider your partner a good or a bad listener?
We were getting about a lot of texts. I'd say about 70% of people say that their husbands, their boyfriends are just awful listeners.
They're still good people, just not good listeners.
Well, yeah, we're not saying they're bad people. They're just, you know, not good listeners.
This is a funny text. It says, after 35 years, he learned how to be a great listener, but now his memory is becoming a problem.
Well, after 35 years, cut him some slack.
I guess it's like not really realistic that we are all listening and completely attentive with our partners all the time, right?
That's right.
Okay, that's what you're trying to say?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
It's not possible. There's so, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, especially if you're living with somebody, it just kind of becomes white noise sometimes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Everything you're saying is not the most important thing at the time.
Yeah. You know? This text from Alana says, oh my God, you guys, this is my daily struggle with my husband. He not only doesn't listen, but he also has a terrible memory. So even when he does finally listen, he just forgets it. We have calendars, lists, phone reminders, post-it notes all over the place trying to get him to do things without me having to nag him. Because that's so true. In a relationship, the nagging can sort of become the issue it's really based on a lack of communication or not listening.
Have you tried tattooing on his arm?
Tattooing like a grocery list,
to-do lists?
They say that like smart people are oftentimes bad listeners, the worst listeners.
Go on.
That makes sense.
It's because their brains work quicker, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. So they're computing, you get the first half of your sentence out and the smart people have already decided what is going on and what you're trying to say. So they don't have to. So then they're trailing off into other thoughts and then you're continuing and they've completely lost you, you know?
Ahead of the curve.
Somewhere else, yeah.
I know it all too well, I know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you do, Sam.
They're just wrapped up in themselves. That's why Sam knows so well.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Okay, let's say that your best friend hooked up with your sister's boyfriend or her husband. Could you ever be friends with them again? The answer is obviously no, right? You can't.
Obviously it
so
is.
So says you.
Or do you think it's none of your business and you're just going to stay out of it? You're still going to be friends. You're still going to be a good sister. We want to know what you think. You can text us at 92925. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. And you probably know why I'm talking about this. It's because Khloe Kardashian has dumped Tristan Thompson for cheating with her sister's best friend, okay? So Kylie Jenner's best friend, well, was Jordan Woods up until yesterday, and she hooked up with Tristan at a party this weekend. They were cuddling, snuggling, making out, and Khloe found out.
Do you think Kylie knew?
That it was happening?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No? I would say no. Hmm. I would say no.
But what does that say about her best friend's character, right?
Yeah.
That she willingly did this.
It's funny because I wasn't really thinking about Khloe in this situation because Khloe, I knew he was going to cheat again. Like, she needs to get a new type, right?
That was your first mistake, taking him back, right?
That's it. He's a serial cheater. But the idea of Kylie knowing that her best friend did that to her sister, you just lost a friendship. In my opinion, I don't think you could be friends with them anymore.
I don't know if it's different with men and women, but I mean, when it comes to hooking up, guys can be savage sometimes. And so I would say that I wouldn't ditch my friend completely. It would be a bit of a breach of trust. Maybe it would like stain his reputation, but I think I wouldn't completely abort the friendship as a result.
Andy, what do you think?
I'd probably take a break from the friendship. I would probably be like, dude, what are you doing? And I probably wouldn't speak to that person for a while, but I don't think I would never, I don't think I'd be never friends with that person, but let's say we were best friends. I think we would no longer be best friends. We would just be friends.
Oh, you'd just be medium friends?
Yeah.
He would drop a category.
We'd be so friends.
I think I would have to cancel it. I was surprised. I was chatting about this on my Instagram story yesterday, and there were like a good amount of people who said, nope, none of my business. I'm going to stay out of it. Sarah, what do you think?
No, they would both be dismissed. Like, if they want to do that, then they can go do that together again, but just far away from me.
Absolutely. You wouldn't be able to stay friends with them, right?
No, why would you want to?
Exactly.
So you're cutting the cord altogether. You've been friends for 15, 20 years. It's all over.
Oh, yeah. You ruined it. You're done.
You wouldn't care to know her side of the story, what she was thinking, if she felt sorry. I mean, like, that's it. Like,
but her side of the story, like, what could she possibly say, right, Sarah? Like,
that she wanted more Instagram followers. Maybe. That she wanted a role on the show.
No, dismissed.
Goodbye. Thank you. Next.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can never trust her having her around. We actually got a text from somebody who said that her longtime best friend started dating her sister's ex just a couple of months after they broke up. Because, like, in friendship world, you can't even date. Even once they're an ex, you're not supposed to date them, really. Mm-hmm.
That's the unwritten rule. But, I mean, if there's something there and they've been broken up for a while, I think that's okay. If you get permission.
This text said they were together for 4 years. It happened a couple of months after they'd broken up, and she hasn't spoken to that friend since.
Wow.
Forgetting with her sister's ex. So.
I hope they stay together.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with Kylie and Jordan.
Stay tuned.
I know Kris Jenner is pumped because she's like, yeah, this is getting us 10 more seasons.
Oh, exactly.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So I made the mistake of putting the same white t-shirt on this morning that I was wearing yesterday during the show, and now all I can smell is the forest. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Yesterday after the show, out of nowhere, Nikki just decided to sage the studio, and I've never seen this before. I've never been part of a saging, if that's what they call it.
A smudging.
Smudging.
Yes. We smudged the studio with sage? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's witchcraft.
I'm just trying to get my head around what it actually did besides make everything smell like a cedar tree.
Saging is great. First of all, we need to talk really quickly about the fact that you think that the fact that you wore the same t-shirt as yesterday is more normal than actually saging. That is a problem.
Well, no, but I made the mistake. I said I didn't mean to. It's just a white t-shirt. I got them mixed up.
Okay, so yeah, saging. I've saged before in the studio. Saging is used to basically like rid any negative energy. And I mentioned there were like a couple like weird technology glitches happening around here. And I was like, oh, I think the energy is off. So when that happens, I bring in some sage. I go around. It has like some antimicrobial properties as well, like that is rooted in science, but otherwise it's a little bit more spiritual. Its roots are in like Native American cultures, really.
I'm two things. I was fascinated by the fact that you had a sage kit with you ready to go.
But I find like so many people have sage these days.
Just ready to go at like moment's notice?
Well, no, I brought it in. I knew I planned.
So this was a pre-planned smudging.
Yes, it was a pre-planned smudging,
well,
absolutely.
It definitely got rid of the negative energy because I was out of this room as soon as you started lighting it. That smoke was like...
It was strong. I can only imagine what your apartment must smell like.
Yeah, I know.
It goes
away, though. You can't smell it anymore.
And you smelled cedar trees? Like, I was smelling just burnt toast. Like, I was hoping for some cedar smell.
Sam liked it a lot more than he's letting on. He's like, I want the benefits of this age.
Like, you know that car air freshener that you get when you go to the gas station, the cedar tree? It smelled like that.
Oh, God, I wish. I couldn't breathe.
We're at the Beat92.5 on Instagram if you want to see this smudging happen.
Yeah.
Don't you feel better, though, Andy?
No, I don't feel better. I smell like a forest.
All right. Next time, I'll make sure you're not here when I smudge, I guess. I think you're more positive, though. I think it worked.
I am smiling more today.
There you go.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Hey, Nikki, I just sent you a text.
It was
an emoji. It was the blowing kiss. And Sam, I also sent you one.
I sent you
the eggplant emoji.
Oh, nice.
Oh, God.
So those emojis, it's Nikki, Sam, and Andy, by the way. Good morning. Those emojis, we know they mean at least... in some way, you know, some sort of sexual connotation, right? If sent from the right person.
What do you
of
mean?
Of course. If sent from the right person.
Okay.
Don't play ignorant.
I thought it meant eggplant parm for dinner.
Yeah, that's what you thought.
That's what I thought it meant.
Sure. Well, science, and you know it's serious because science has figured out what the all-time sexiest emojis are. So, yeah, the eggplant, obviously, the winking face, blowing a kiss, sticking the tongue out.
The kiss one I find is, like, not sexy. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, friends do that. Like, sometimes, like, people you're working with do that. I don't know. It just means, I guess, especially in Montreal, because you're always kissing people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, suppose. I don't see that as sexy or sexual.
Well, science does.
Okay.
And also, the two other ones, the smirk face and sweat droplets, which apparently mean bodily fluids. Which,
oh, God.
Like, I didn't know that. But do you guys ever use any? I know I use one of these emojis way too much.
No, the emojis I use are the heart nonstop, like just a million hearts, red hearts, sometimes pink ones. I also use the like crying laughing face a lot.
I don't like that one.
No, I knew you wouldn't.
Because chances are that you're actually crying of laughter because of what I sent are slim to none.
Yeah, nothing's that funny.
Just give me an LOL.
But I mean, but there's a good chance you're not laughing out loud also, so it's kind of the same thing.
Right. But you're definitely not crying out loud. I mean, that's like next level.
Okay, either way.
But anyways, since when did we start
perversing
every...
I wasn't finished. I wasn't finished. Talking about the emojis.
Got me all riled
all
up with that teary face.
Settle down.
We need to give Sam 10 minutes. He's got something to say.
I know. I use the crying laughing face, and I use for some reason the hand up often, like just to say me or like hi to friends, like the little face with their hand up.
Oh,
I use that one often.
I thought you meant like, no, stop right there.
No. So clearly I'm not texting sexy things. Like, but I didn't know emojis were sexy. I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, that was it, right? Like Sam was saying, when did we start perversing this?
Yeah, how did like an eggplant, like a harmless little vegetable, become you know the most notoriously you know sexually inundated or insinuating emoji? I don't get it.
There's also the peach, which is like a butt.
I couldn't believe that was left off the list.
Yeah.
The peach is very sexual.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Like one of the most recently released emojis was a hand signal, sort of like indicating like a little bit. With the two fingers a little bit. And right off the bat, everyone said, oh, well, you know what that means. It means a small genitalia. It has to. Why can't it just mean a little bit? What's the correlation, please?
This is what we do. Am I the only one, too, who just gets a little bored? Like, I have friends who text emoji heavy, you know? Like, they've got a lot of emojis in there. And they're kind of fun texts to receive. But when I'm texting, I find it annoying to scroll through and see all the emojis. Like, the time that it takes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, is it really worth it to make it a little more colorful?
Yeah, sometimes it is, though. Sometimes you'll type a word and an emoji will come up and you'll be like, I can't believe they've got an emoji for that. How exciting.
No, that's true. And usually when you're sifting through, I mean, you forget what you're trying to convey by the time you find the right emoji. But what is interesting is that I find emojis are like the new age hieroglyphics, you know?
Okay.
You just sort of send the emojis out and it's up for interpretation. Like, you know, you have to analyze them and you have to go through and, you know.
Okay.
So, you know.
All right. So that eggplant I sent you, either we're going out for eggplant parm this evening or something else. Interpret it however you want.
Either way, we're having a good night.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.